Okay, good evening. Welcome to the September 6, 2023 meeting of the Clark County Developmental Disabilities Advisory Board. Just want to remind everyone online and in the room that this meeting is audio recorded, and then it will be posted on the website for your perusal and reinforcement of what you think we did. And so to begin the meeting, do we have any community input?
Amy, did you want to talk about that opportunity?
I don't want to take up time, but board members, I had emailed out an application for the SPAC, the Student Potential Youth Advisory Council, which is a youth advisory council that I have been facilitating in conjunction with I want to say the steering committee, but it's a lot of nonprofits in Washington that are doing student advocacy work, and right now they're specifically working and including the ARC. And now it's all escaping me, King County, around students with disabilities in Washington. And we decided, or the steering committee decided, that we wanted to have student voice as part of the action that they're taking, nothing about us without us. So rather than a bunch of steering committee adults, stakeholders making decisions, that we wanted to have guidance from students in Washington who have in the past received special education services or are currently receiving special education services, ages 14 to 21. And so we have a 12-person youth council, and we meet once a month, usually on Mondays from about 5 to 6 on a Zoom meeting. Last year was our first year, and we had some guest speakers who came and talked about the legislative process and how to do a 1-minute elevator pitch and how to develop your own advocacy strategies. And we really learned a lot from the group about what they wanted. And so in the end, we ended up creating a podcast with the members, because they decided that was how they wanted to, you know, tell about their stories and their experience. We hadn't even anticipated this, so it was really fun. We're looking for applications now, and we need 12 new members. And the really cool part is we want to make sure that we're not usurping stories or taking advantage. And so we want students to understand that their contributions are valuable to us as well. So there is a stipend that's paid to participants. It's $500. And we're going to help with whatever they need. You can add it as a resume experience, or you might be able to get a letter of recommendation. Obviously, they're growing their own skills. And so we're trying to make sure that it's mutually beneficial for our steering committee to be able to get feedback from actual students in Washington about what they want in education, and it's also hopefully beneficial for our student participants. That was a lot. Does anybody have any questions? Because we really want to have a broad representation from all over Washington, and we're hoping that this application can be out to as many people as possible.
And Trudy did forward this out today to the advisory board, our public advisory board meeting, and or meeting list, and all of our contractors too, just in case they know any transition students.
The range is 14 to 21.
Okay.
So WSU, I sit on the Accessibility Council this year, so I can also send it around there so they can get it to students who actually have access service agreements. And for your older age kids, that might be really interesting. Okay, so, on my list.
I'll turn my mic on before I say yes. It would be very interesting for them. And just to add to that, the application process is super flexible because we want it to be extremely accessible. So there's the Google Drive form that we will, there's a lot of picture, pictorial representations of what we're asking for, so they can use drop downs or clicks. And then we can also, if that doesn't feel like the most accessible option, we can also do a video or phone interview. And so, however people feel comfortable applying, is we just want to make sure that people feel like this is an opportunity for them.
Thank you. Is there any other community input?
I guess now would be as good of a time to talk about the changes to our agenda possible, Madam Chair.
Okay. No other community input. Trish is going to give us an update on tonight's agenda.
Okay. We did have, I heard from three advisory board members who said they couldn't make it tonight, Lindy, Sydney, and Tavi. And then I also heard from two of our guests. Dr. Michelle Cruz had a death in the family, and so she can't make it tonight. I will work with her to reschedule. I also heard from Darla Help that she couldn't make it tonight. She did say that there were no legislative updates that she had for us, and that the Community Advocacy Coalition was going to be working on their legislative agenda next week. So we can look forward to the next meeting get legislative updates from Darla. I did want to see if we could talk a little bit tonight about, or I could just put a plug in for a couple of things, and then potentially talk about joining in a recruitment committee and the school board and jurisdiction meetings. So if we could add those two things, if the board so approves.
Okay, so do we want to have, are we going to have our recruitment now or wait?
Whenever.
Let's do it now.
Okay, so we have one position that is expiring, that's Susan's position this year, and so hoping that she will reapply, but we do need, I would like to see if there's anybody that would like to support me in that, we've called it the recruitment committee before, but we actually hopefully don't need to recruit anybody this year, but that we would be, you know, I just would like somebody to go through that process with me, because the county council's office does require us to like open it up and say, hey, there's, you know, this position that is expiring. Those that would like to apply, please apply. And, you know, we will need to kind of go through a process there. So just looking for help. And the way that this works when we're talking about a committee is that the board chair can appoint people to committees, and certainly the board chair doesn't just randomly appoint people, but rather whoever would like to do this. So I'm hoping to get volunteers.
Accept volunteers. Yes. And so for the recruitment committee, do you need two people, three?
One or two. I don't think this year particularly, I don't think it's going to take a lot of time, just because we've got the one and hopefully a returning board member.
County will still post the position, all right?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Would anybody like to volunteer to be a part of a upcoming recruitment committee that would probably meet in December?
We'll need to be posting, and the posting has to be open for a month, so it would probably be October that we would be looking to connect. I'll connect with whoever wants to be a part of that.
I know, Kristen, you're online, and
I think it's just Kristen online as far as board members go.
Yeah. And then Bob. I thought you said something. I didn't hear it.
Oh, can you hear me? Okay. Oh, I'm interested.
Thanks, Kristen.
Okay. Anybody in the room? We're a small group tonight. Yes. Bob's got a grin from ear to ear. I don't know if he's volunteering or he's just enjoying himself.
The only problem I have is we still have all of those proclamations and other things coming up, so I want to make sure that's filled in as well. So I could be an alternate.
Okay, Bob is an alternate. Anybody else want to follow you?
Gabriella, you too? Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Okay. And do we want to talk about signing up for board meetings in City Council now too, or?
Sure. Yeah, that would be great.
So most of you probably know, board members, that a list or a sign-up sheet was sent out with dates of upcoming school board meetings and county and city proclamations regarding our October Disability Employment Awareness Month that coincides with our celebration. And so it's a great opportunity to get out into the community. When we go to council meetings, city council or county council, usually it's at the beginning of the meeting. There may be a couple proclamations read at that time, and then you get a chance to acknowledge the proclamation, share a little bit about the DDAB, what we do, and invite them to attend the event, at which will be in person at our college or be streamed online. And then when your time is up, typically we can make a gracious exit, and you don't have to stay for the whole meeting unless you would like to. Totally optional, up to you. School board meetings, I haven't done the presentations, but it's a similar type thing. They don't read a proclamation. So it's just us getting on their input, which is, again, usually at the beginning of the meeting. School boards usually limit you to 3 minutes. And so just putting in a plug for our event in October, inviting those that are educating our potential employees to be a part of this celebration. Because it starts when they're really young, and it culminates hopefully in a job. Any questions about that?
Yes, when is the proclamation?
They vary. It used to be kind of the city of Vancouver and Clark County, and then Camas jumped on board, and Richfield, and
LeCentre Battleground.
And so people typically sign up for something that's closer to home, more into the home boundary. Our board has become a little more concentric. Rather, we used to be a little more broad, and so, but just and whatever fits your schedule. I don't have the times in front of me. Judy set that out as an attachment. And I know that for me, I mean, I've not signed up for anything yet.
So I just wanted to point out a couple of things is that we do have some talking points for the advisory board to use. So, you know, you can say whatever you would like at those meetings, but we do kind of have something prepared so that if you want to use that, you can. And I think that it's a really powerful way to show your advocacy, to show up either in person or online. A lot of these still are having hybrid meetings. And I just wanted to plug, we have a particular need for October 2nd. Staff and some of our advisory board members actually are going to be in Salem, Oregon for a conference, and there are evening things happening. And there's actually two proclamations that night. And I would prioritize the proclamations because that's really something that those jurisdictions are doing. And they really expect there to be somebody there to receive those proclamations, so that it would either be we'd have to drive down and back to Salem that night and then back to Salem. So I just really want to make a plea for the October 2nd. That's the City of Battleground and the City of Vancouver, if there's anybody that could take those two specifically, and any others that you would like. And there is some coordinating to do, especially if you're going to be, if you would like to attend virtually, because we need to let whichever jurisdiction or school district know that you'll be attending virtually, so that then they can like make sure that you're in the right Zoom space and unmute you and, you know, do all those things. And there's usually like a time frame ahead of time that they need to know that. It's usually like the day or the day before. So there's just a little bit of coordinating that we want to make sure that we do there. So, yeah, that's my plea for the October 2nd. Yes.
I just want to say that in all of the conversations I had last year, it's a very receptive group. So you're not working hard. You're getting smiles from the people up on the dais, and it is rewarding. They really do appreciate the invitation, and you'd be amazed how many actually said yes and planning to be there. So.
And if I could, can you have Trudy send around the talking points? Because I could do that meeting, I would just feel more comfortable with the script.
Sure, I think that it might have gone out, but we'll send it again.
Yeah,
we'll make sure everybody has
it. Well, I can look, because if it went out at the same time, because I have this in my inbox.
I think Kristen might have sent it later.
The talking points did not get sent out. I just sent out clarifications about what was being asked of them at the meeting.
Okay, I will send that out to everybody.
Okay.
Make sure you have that.
Well, I can email you and be, I'll be there for the second. And because the city, this is the city Vancouver, this is the proclamation, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the mayor's indicator, or at least the assistant and the person planning it, they want to have the person take a picture with the mayor.
Okay.
During the
okay, that's good to know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a teaching day, so I will not be in, like, jeans or sweats.
Okay.
So, there we go. This is what they can expect. But I will, you know, so if I just have a little bit of lead time to make sure that, you know, I've got my talking points, the word, all the thing,
yeah.
That would be great. Thank you.
And I think it happens within the first 10 minutes, if I remember correctly, of the meeting, so.
Yeah, and I'm done teaching it shortly after 4, so it won't be a problem to be here by 6:30.
Great, thank you.
I can likely do the Battleground City Hall on Monday, October 2nd. I just need to confirm that.
We can't hear Amy.
Oh, thank you. I said I need to confirm at home on my work calendar that I can do Monday, October 2nd in Battleground. So I'll confirm that tonight and let you know. And then I'll check the other dates, too, because I should.
And I could do the October 2nd in the city of Vancouver.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I can do the virtual because I think I'm going to be also in Salem, right?
You can join virtually? Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah, because I'm going to be in also.
Yes.
So both Lori and Susan. City of Vancouver.
Okay. And Gabriella joining virtually for City of Vancouver?
Yes, virtually for City of Vancouver.
Okay.
And then we can coordinate online about the rest of the dates. So thank you, everybody.
What time? 6:30? I think it's usually...
Yes, 6:30. We can have some discussion about that.
Okay.
I pulled up the last year's agenda. I thought we could take a look at that. And
yes.
Yeah, okay. I will go ahead and share my screen.
So the legislative agenda, for any of you that are new, each year, usually during the break in the legislative session, we get to meet one-on-one with our representatives from our local area. Sometimes it's virtually, sometimes it's in person. Sometimes they get changed at the last minute, but it's just a chance to advocate for our community and support, and we have, again, talking points that we can use. It's relatively painless, and there's usually somebody from the county there with us as well, so we're not out there all by ourselves. A lot of times we have data to share with them about employment in our area or how much they contribute to the tax base and they're spending money in the community and all of that good stuff to share with them. And so again, the times, there's no particular time. Sometimes it's earlier in the day, other times it's in the afternoon. Sometimes there might be more than one at a time. And what we do in our meeting, so starting tonight, we'll look at our previous agenda, see what we want to update, if the priorities have changed for that. And then in our November meeting, we would talk about it a little bit more and brush anything up we need to do and then hopefully approve it. And Trisha's going to share it, I believe.
We also use DARWA's list to help focus the 85 bills that are being forwarded.
Yes. So DARWA participates in a lot of these meetings when she can and also provides us really good updates and input.
Are those legislative lists from DARWA still on the website? Or are they just distributed via email?
Okay, so the smiley faces, is that what, that's what everybody calls them. I'm sure there's an official name, but yeah, so we have all of the ones from last session. We don't have any yet for this year, of course, since, you know, there haven't been probably any bills dropped yet, but we will be getting them. And then we can also get copies of legislative agendas as they're being developed. I do have our legislative agenda from last year, and then I also have the draft agenda from the Association of County Human Services, which is all the county folks like myself from around the state, county developmental disabilities folks that developed the county association legislative agenda as well. So we can share ours from last year, and then I'll also share the one, we can share the one from the association as well.
Question?
Yes.
Are you talking about the list of the legislative issues through the Arc of Washington?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, what list?
Yes, yeah, yeah. The smiley face list that we get from Arc of Washington.
Also from the Arc of Washington.
Yes. So we have last year's, and we've got all of last year's that we've posted on our website with the meeting agendas, but that obviously won't be the current. So Angela was able to share, this is last year's legislative agenda, and, you know, it's always a little bit confusing to me because it says 2023, but it's, we're going to be in 2024, so we're working on 2024's legislative agenda, but this is what y'all came up with last year. Would it be helpful if I gave a little summary of that from last year and about the agenda and kind of what happened and things?
Yeah.
Okay. So the advisory board, you know, in your wisdom, and I think rightly so, typically comes up with kind of three agenda items. I think keeping it succinct for our legislators is really important. So last year, our three priorities were employment, housing, and residential supports, and aging for employment. This is something I think near and dear to all of our heart because we at the county provide employment and day program services for adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities. And last year was a big year. There was actually some traction with a study that the legislature had said that they needed to do, that DDA needed to provide. DDA did provide that rate study to the legislature. It was a rate study dated October 1st, 2022. And so there was a lot of work and effort around getting the rate study funded at the recommended levels. And there was an increase. It was a 21% increase, which you can't say that's not a win because that was pretty good. But it was not to the level that the rate study recommended. But we are moving forward. I think that we're all, it's kind of yet to be seen if that is going to be enough to kind of stabilize our service system. Because those rates went into effect, the increase that we got from last legislative session went into effect in July. And so it's still, kind of sussing out what the impact of that is going to be. And so we're watching that very closely as a program, as are the other counties in the state, and working very closely with our service providers. So that was, and then there's some additional language there about, employment funding, employment first, opportunities to earn a living wage, integrated employment, opportunities to higher education for students as appropriate. So that kind of all under the umbrella of employment. Housing and residential supports, this continues to be a really big issue, and not just for developmental disabilities, but for many, many people who are finding it difficult to afford housing these days. I mean, we've had county employees leave their employment with the county because of housing, and not just one. So, and the county used to be a good, a good family wage job. So, it's a challenge, and it's a big challenge, I think. And especially for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities and their families, adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities fall into the category of, really low income, right? So some affordable housing projects and opportunities are up to 80% of area median income. But when we talk about adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities who are living on Social Security, chances are they're below 30% of area median income, if not less than that. So it's a need for us. I think that there's something like 86 units that are set aside for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities in Clark County, and there's thousands of people who need affordable housing, thousands of people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. There's some needs that people with intellectual and developmental disabilities have around having kind of scattered site as opposed to a big housing development that is just set aside for people with disabilities. I'm sure you all are familiar with the history, the long history of congregation and segregation of people with intellectual and developmental disabilities, which is not what people want any longer. So having those scattered site opportunities, as well as kind of some creative opportunities for people and their families, with accessory dwelling units, studio units, shared community space. So this affordable housing issue continues to be a huge issue in our community, and I'm sure many other communities throughout the country. Gabriella and I are on the affordable housing work group that has been started by our department head, Vanessa Gaston. She's pulling together funders, service providers, other people to come up with a report that's going to be used, hopefully, to inform funding opportunities for our community to actually build affordable housing in Clark County. So housing is a big thing. Gabriella, did you want to share anything else about that? I'm on a huge learning curve with this housing stuff, personally. So
I think after we do some work with the work groups, we'll have some more to share. That's why I was late today, because we had that meeting before, prior to this meeting. I think having those work groups will be interesting to see how that moves forward. And the information that I will share after you left, the meeting today was more into the racial equity part of the system. And something quite interesting that I never thought about that is mentioned at the end of the gathering. We need to recognize that there is regional inequity, not only in our county, but throughout the country. And we just need to know that we are not at fault for that racial inequity, but we are responsible for what happens from now on. So it is up to us to make a change and take care of all our people, because it doesn't mean that we're going to take away from one group to give it to the other. It means that we need to support all groups.
Thank you. And then the advisory board also was interested in aging, the longer life expectancy of people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. I mean, 30 years ago, people with disabilities, there weren't really that many elderly people with disabilities because of life expectancy. And with advances in healthcare and people getting access to healthcare, people are living longer. And that means that there might be people living longer. People with disabilities are living longer, but then also they're living with aging caregivers as well. And so that is a concern there's going to be the needs of the person with the disability, but then the person doing the caregiving might also have their needs as well. And how do we address that? So those were the three things that y'all came up with for last year. And I'll say that while we make some adjustments and changes, and we certainly can make adjustments and changes to this, there has been some level of consistency over time. Sometimes there might be an issue that emerges as more of an issue, like housing has come up as more of an issue in the past years. I think that or in recent years, I think in past things like healthcare might have come up because of healthcare reform and an emphasis that, developmental disabilities is not healthcare. So we don't want to be counted as healthcare. People with disabilities need healthcare, but we didn't want to get swept up in this healthcare reform. So there's other things that kind of emerge. Typically employment is a big priority for y'all. But that being said, you get to do what you want to do. So, and I think that the way that we've done it in the past is that this meeting, we kind of start the conversation. You might decide to form a committee and have some discussion, in between meetings and then come back to the November meeting where y'all would adopt your final, legislative agenda at the public meeting.
Pushing my button, it doesn't do anything. It seems like Gabrielle, and I want to say last year's agenda, when we talked about housing, we had stuff about minority populations being underserved. And for some reason, I think we might have taken that out last year. I can't remember. But it's striking a chord with me. And then in the past, we've also sometimes included like early intervention services as one of our agenda items. And it seems like we have Angela, do you work with the Littles, or is that Kristen? How are things going in that realm of the world?
Yes, thank you. And I think it's going well. We're seeing a significant increase. We're still having staffing concerns, and so they're struggling specifically, I think, with PT. They're losing a lot of individuals to school districts and other, I guess, more higher paid positions, and so they're really struggling to maintain those services for early intervention. They're going through a pretty significant shift in their database, so that was canceled a couple times now, and they're still doing that, but increased services for sure. Number of babies referred has increased.
So are there any thoughts from anyone? Do we want to kind of stick with these three main talking points? Do we want to add something else as far as like kind of three main things? Are those still our high priority concerns?
Personally, I think those are big issues, the three of them.
Yeah, based on the conversations we've been having over the last year, I feel like those are the three major things that keep coming back, especially, I just know we've had conversations about all of them, and during the last legislative session, and this is going to be a short session, so it's going to be quick, and making sure if we already have talking points that people might be familiar with, and that we're comfortable talking about, that might also help the process knowing that it's might not have as much time.
The aging issue in particular, I think is something that we should, I mean, you don't want to short shrift early childhood education,
mm-hmm.
And early childhood supports, but particularly because my area of expertise is autism, you know, there's a lot for early childhood supports for mm-hmm. people with autism. But, you know, once they hit middle to late adolescence or early college, I mean, it all kind of dissipates a little bit. And so the aging question about, you know, how do you, you know, somebody who's 35 and is on the spectrum and is cared for by parents who are in their late 70s, I mean, I think that's almost like a policy gap there in a sense, because there's SSI, there's Medicaid, there's, you know, all these kinds of things, but they're not maybe as disability savvy as they should be. So it does seem to me, because this is a bit of a policy gap, we should continue to focus on aging and issues for aging caregivers and also aging people with IEDD.
I do agree with that. And I like what you said, or Lori, it isn't lost on me, like the early childhood piece is so important. And when Angela, you said the increased referral, mm-hmm. I want to make sure people also are aware of that, like that we're sounding the alarm early on, we're noticing trends, and this is so important, and we're going to have an influx of, or we're going to have a bigger problem if we cannot address concerns early on and get people supports early on and start services early. So it's like we're missing them at the end and we're missing them at the beginning.
Our candles burning.
Our candles burning both ends. And how do you make sure that people are aware of that? That we can't focus so hard on one side or the other. But I appreciate the conversation.
I would like to add one thing I see missing in there, so those are big issues. One thing is missing is medical providers. Because having conversations not only on the local but the state level, we see how medical providers are scarce. Therapeutic, medical, dental, and for our aging people with disabilities having full sedation for dental, just as an example, as a headache. There is no provider in the area, and all because we're still under a rural zoning and the medical reimbursement is not equal to an urban place. So people used to go to Longview, now the doctor in Longview retired, so it's not even there. If they need dental procedure with full sedation, they have to go to Tacoma or Olympia. So I think that's outrageous. And we need to have medical providers in the area, because how big is Clark County? We are the third largest county in the state. And I still can't believe we have enough medical providers, therapeutic and dental. So if anything needs to be added, is that my humble 2 cents.
You can't hear it by snapping.
Well, and Trish, that reminds me, it was when Mary was still in her position before she retired, but there was that big meeting of providers that was at Legacy, wasn't it, that they were going to form some sort of a task force in Southwest Washington?
Yes, but never happened. I was in a conversation since back then.
Yeah.
So EMTs and, nothing happened.
Yeah, I thought one of the outcomes from that was that people were like, sure, I want to learn more, I want to know more, be a part of this community that can work with a more diverse clientele. Is that still preventing you to learn? You haven't been on the board then.
Well, what year was this?
Well, married and not yet retired.
Trish, have you heard anything from the legislature? So I was in Olympia doing advocacy for almost 3 weeks this year. And one of the comments from Stephanie McIntosh on Sunday Legislative District said that she was very concerned about the city of Vancouver merging with unincorporated areas, and that was because her legislative district is in Hazelden, part of it. So she said, I'm so concerned about the city of Vancouver absorbing unincorporated areas because our taxes are going to be even higher than what we are all to be able to attain an urban zoning. So I played dumb so she could tell me more about it. What I told her is, we already pay very high taxes in Vancouver. I don't know if we're the second largest tax instead of Washington outside King County. But we already pay the taxes for that level of support and income and to have, instead of being rural, to be urban. So that shouldn't be an issue. Just an FYI, if you heard anything of it with the legislature this year, or if you even had those conversations, but that was her biggest concern, and that was among the 17th and some other Republican legislative districts.
Yeah, I do know that whole determination of Clark County being considered rural versus urban affects the reimbursement rates for the these different medical services. So, I haven't heard anything else about the unincorporated areas or, why. I know that I've heard about this for a long time, why we're still considered rural, because...
Yeah, I was here in 01 and annexation was oh my God, we're going to get annexed. It's never happened. So I think it's a long-term
I'm collaborating with the city and the county.
Oh, yeah?
Elba, right now, because they're looking at annexation. So any concerns? Let me know.
It is interesting that we're considered rural because we're a little bit, I think 50,000 people less than Spokane County. And how are we rural being 50,000 people less than Spokane County, which is population centered to the east? Part of the challenge, I think, with Southwest Washington, and I know we see this in higher education, is that it's just been neglected by the state for so long. Mm-hmm. And so it is part of the push. I mean, I'm in the 18th legislative district now because I'm in the part of Hazeldale that got moved from the 49th to the 18th during the last census. And so I started going to 18th legislative district town halls, and it's not the 49th, I can tell you that. So I think part of it is just Southwest Washington needs to advocate for itself a little better at a legislative level. But short of that, this whole annexation business is going to be a very hot topic, I would think.
And besides that, I think the conversations for the county with the state is that the laws that they pass, that is really throughout the state of Washington, because what I see, they focus a lot in King County, Spokane, Yakima. And we're overlooked because we're so close to Portland. We don't belong to Portland. We are the state of Washington. And many of those services we cannot get here. So it's all focused on King County, Pierce County, Spokane. That's it.
Kristen, I notice you're just listening intently. Do you have anything to add to our conversation from your perspective as a social worker?
I actually have been seeing a lot of the same, especially with housing, the same thing from my perspective, and just really feeling like we really need to have so many more resources. And I'm just agreeing, like, yes, we need all of these things. And it does feel like there's just, we are ignored. There just doesn't seem to be access or programs. And, there's just so many needs.
Well, and we don't get Washington news here, right? Yeah. So we get the Portland news, so we don't hear as often about what's going on in Olympia or up north or what's happening.
Legislative coverage is really very sparse. And, you know, even sometimes in the Columbia, like, not really, the ledge is in session. You know, there are things other than drugs to talk about here. I mean, that's something that I notice because of what I teach, but really, I mean, your point is really well taken.
So I tell everybody, we're the stepchild of Washington. Nobody wants us. Mm-hmm. But we're here. Mm-hmm. We have to deal with us.
It doesn't make us go away.
And one of the things that I noticed even with the NDVC is that the studies that they run are to other places but here. And I also tell everybody, it's like, what's up with that? Because they just run a study for disparities and services for people with disabilities, and they focus on Spokane, Yakima, Kenya. And I go like, really? And they hire a company to do the work, and that's what they did. I go like, this is up in the face. Thank you very much. So now we're working on that because it cannot continue happening.
I think we were, I've been talking with Brandy about potentially coming to an advisory board meeting in November, to the November meeting.
Yeah, we're going to have the next one next month in Yakima, and the following will be in Vancouver, because I told her that's enough. So please come to me.
Good job.
And complain, and whine, and cry, and do everything, and kick, and cry, and do everything.
Thank you.
Gabrielle, will you send out the meeting information when it gets closer?
As soon as I have information.
I will cry.
People,
I'm offering to cry at the meeting right now.
Yes,
and Gabrielle said she will send out the meeting information.
As soon as I have it.
I have an exam.
Okay. So Angela also has pulled up the potential 2024 priorities that the Association of County Human Services is discussing. These are not finalized yet either. We've got a meeting scheduled, I think, next week to talk about these more. But the counties are talking about fully funding the rates from the employment study. Affordable housing is an issue that we're concerned about because, you know, when people don't have a place to live, they also, it makes it harder for people to find jobs. There is an issue that maybe, I don't know, Angela, if you could speak to this one, the monthly count date for ESIT providers to allow them to bill, because they're evidently haven't been able to bill for the first month of services for whatever glitch in the system. Do you have anything else about that you want to say?
You know, I don't have a lot of information on it, but I can likely get someone sent it out.
That'd be great. Priority for a data management system. So this is a big issue with counties, and it's a big issue here in Clark County. When I started with the county 17 years ago, I asked Mary Strelo, who was interviewing me at the time, what the biggest challenge was to the program, and she said the lack of a data system. We have experienced growth in the last 17 years, both in the number of people in our programs, the number of people in our community, the number of people working, and we are still, doing things. I don't want to say it's like the Stone Age, but we're not writing on the walls, but we are using spreadsheets for a lot of things. And we've got like an antiquated access database that is and it takes a lot of manual time. It takes a lot of staff time to be able to get the information out of to get it into our systems and then to get it back out in reports. So, we sometimes say like we are counting on our fingers and toes, but it's not far from that. So, you can imagine it was a big challenge 17 years ago, and it's even more of a challenge these days. So, and we're not the only county, discussing that. So other counties, there's a statewide committee that's come together. It sounds like DDA would need to do a decision package, on some kind of a data system, but that may or may not meet our needs as a county. So we're looking as a county, this is just an aside, we are looking into getting some support from our IT department to look and see if there's something that we could either purchase or build that would meet our needs. But this is a statewide issue as well. Requests related to transition student services. So Job Foundations has been a project. Kristen has come and presented about that many times. And we're going to have kind of more discussion about what that might look like and if that will be a permanent service that we'll be providing. Because right now it's, only for a certain amount of time. And then we'll be discussing more. But I wanted to share that with y'all about kind of what the counties are thinking and talking about as well.
Do we want to continue our discussion on this topic, or I kind of have the impression we might want to move on so we can have our meeting be timely and enriching?
Okay. So are there people that want to get together to talk about this in between the meetings and then come back with a proposal for the group to vote on at the November meeting, or is there something else that y'all want to do, or do you just want to talk about it in November? It's up to you.
What are you all interested in doing? Do we want to get a small committee together that work with some of our county staff and wordsmith our three priorities, and maybe embed some of those other things that we talked about?
What's that?
What was that, Gabriella?
When is that November meeting?
I believe it is November 1st. The first Wednesday of the month. Yeah, November 1st. I mean, we can always come back and talk about it in November if people aren't feeling like they want to jump on and dig into it in between. That means that we'd probably need to have some robust discussion to finalize it, because that's when we would need to finalize it, is at the November meeting.
Yeah, it would be maybe we would be more focused, knowing that a legislative session was right around the corner, and by that time we probably would have heard from Darla, and so we can maybe make more focused decisions once we get that input.
Sure.
Yeah, and that could be a big part of our agenda for November, because we tend to take a while. Yeah. All right. So moving on, National Disability Employment Awareness Month. Bob, you want to update us on how it's going?
Hello, everyone. This is Bob Freeland, sitting in person in the sixth floor of the Clark County Public Service Center. I can describe myself as an older adult male with pronouns he and him. I have curly hair, gray hair, and glasses, and I'm honored to be one of the 10 members of the Developmental Disability Advisory Board of Clark County. October is National Disability Employment for Awareness Month nationally, which celebrates the contribution of America's workers with disabilities and highlights supportive and inclusive employment policies and practices that benefit employers and employees. This year is also recognizing 50 years since the passing of the Rehabilitation Act of 1973. As part of our local recognition for the October celebration, we will be gathering for the 23rd Annual Awards Ceremony at Clark College. The theme for this year's event is Advancing Access and Equity. Through employment, it's more than just a job. The award ceremony honors the productive workplace contributions of people with developmental disabilities, recognizes leadership within our business community, and acknowledges the distinguished service of outstanding individuals. Here are a few of the details. The award ceremony is a free public event and will take place on Wednesday, October 11, 2023 at Clark College. You can see the address on the overhead. It goes from 4:30 to 6, and I want to say that 4:30 is the time that we kind of mingle among the crowd before we actually get down to the business of announcing the different awards and having a keynote speaker. Speaking of keynote speakers, Bryce Johnson from the Inclusive Design Tech Lab at Microsoft is coming down from up north, you know, that county that gets all of the money. He will be our keynote speaker. A few of us had the opportunity to meet with him after his truly insightful talk at the 2023 Community Summit, which was held in Wenatchee, Washington this past June. Kelly Love has agreed to return as our engaging Master of Ceremonies, and we certainly expect to have sightings of some of our local elected officials as well. Looking forward to seeing all of you there.
Well done, Bob. Thank you very much. And Trish wanted to give us a little update on CBTV, or Angela.
Can you pull that up? Yeah. Yes, we have a CBTV video.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. It's about...
Oh dear. They almost missed the banter.
Banter, yes, there's in-room banter. So we have a CBTV video. We're gonna be posting it to our website. It's now live on YouTube. And so I wanted to show it to you all. It's about 5 minutes long. There is footage of our advisory board meeting, but not, you know, you'll see. It's just kind of like, you can tell that we're talking, but you can't tell what we're actually talking about. So, We'll share that in just a minute. And it's about 5 minutes long, so it's not a super long one.
This is not it, is it? What's that? Is this one in?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought we were showing the new one.
This is the new one. It probably has some old footage in it.
Got it. Okay.
There's banter happening. Angela was just looking at the video and she's saying, I thought this was new. It is new, and we're using some of our footage that we have from previous videos as well. So
I want to make sure I'm sharing the sound.
Will it be shared so that we can see it here too? Oh, here it comes. Okay.
Oh, sorry, I have to hit play.
With intellectual and developmental disabilities are fully participating community members. People with disabilities and their families should have access to the supports needed to live, work, and fully participate in local community life. Clark County assists people with disabilities in achieving those goals.
We have a 10-member volunteer advisory board per RCW 71A. And the role of the Clark County Developmental Disabilities Advisory Board is to advise the Clark County Council on issues relating to people with intellectual and developmental disabilities, to help program staff develop our 5-year comprehensive plan, and to provide community leadership and advice on effectiveness and efficiency of our program.
Advisory board meetings are held in hybrid format the first Wednesday of every other month at 5:15 p.m. You can join in person at the Public Service Center or virtually via internet or phone call. Clark County assists with supported employment for individuals with a disability. A job coach is assigned to an individual with developmental disabilities to help with the employment process.
When people with disabilities are referred to our program, part of that process is to get people assigned to an agency. And that assignment comes based on the customer choice. That agency will then match the person with a disability with a job coach. And the role of that job coach is to discover the person's individual skills and abilities, and also to discover what potential job match might be at a job in the community.
What we do on the highest level is we take this stigma or this idea that people with disabilities can't work, and we break that down, both through our own advocacy and evidentially through our clients working and show what they can do, and we break down that stigma. So that's like on the high level, and on the low level, we take what we learn about our clients as a whole person, and we set them up for the greatest level of success possible based on what we've learned.
Nathaniel is employed at Cascade Regal Cinemas in Vancouver. He is the ticket taker at the theater entrance. His job coach checks in with him regularly to ensure his needs are met.
His greatest contribution is always going to be his personality, his smile, his laughter, what he brings culturally to a place. He went to school in this community, all within just a few mile radius is just where his life exists, where his community is. Massive to just be recognized and appreciated and seen, not just as a person in a wheelchair, but as a person, and just understood. And not just understood in a workplace, needs to be included in that.
I love that. I love Mark. I don't feel like I knew me anymore. Like, people know me, and people love about me, and what one of my teammates should look on the review of this location, and she thought it was going to be negative, but it was positive, and there was one thing that she said that they're willing to hire disabled people, and that was she told me and Bobby, and that's what I love, and that's why I want more places to do the same thing. I'm just so happy that I met Bobby, because without Bobby, I wouldn't get this job. I always tell this every time I see. Thank you for helping me get this job. But yeah, I'm just grateful what he did.
On October 11th, Clark County will host the 23rd Annual Disability Employment Awareness Awards at Clark College Geyser Hall. Employees with disabilities and their employers will be recognized for the role they have in our community. For more information about hiring individuals with developmental disabilities or attending an advisory board meeting, contact Clark County Community Services at 564-397-2130. Or visit clark.wa.gov/dev-disabilities.
That's our video. So that's our video. And just so that you know, Mike Ferry is also working on some videos for the event that we produce every year as well. So this one, we'll use this, put it up. It'll be on CVTV. It'll probably be on the actual TV channel occasionally. It'll be available on the website. We'll link to it on our website as well, where we keep our videos.
Very cool. I was trying to think of a way that we could maybe share that with some of the school boards or something. But this run 3 minutes long.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Now we have all the school board emails, so now we're using
that. We can give them a QR code so they can log on and look. Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing.
I want to thank Trish real fast for representing so well. You did a great job. Your interviews were good. I did not want to. So good job.
It's good editing on. I told Steve to make me look good. Yeah.
Okay. And so that is end of our meeting. We are now officially adjourned. Thank you all for your participation, and we will see you hopefully first Wednesday in October, and we'll be meeting with Wally again as a worker session.
Thanks. Bye, everybody.